It will be a world premiere with Philip Sinder as our soloist. It's a very, very interesting work. And with Philip Sinder actually features the percussion section. Four wonderful percussion players who really add a lot of flavor to this piece. It's very interesting. Usually the three movements that we normally associate with concertos, they're like allegro, adagio, or vivace. Now, Ron Newman writes, first movement, interactions, resulting reactions. Second movement is clarity with a touch of nostalgia. Three, Maynard Ferguson played the valve trombone. So there's some certain amount of humor in this and virtuoso work, but very listenable.
Because a concerto for an instrument like a tuba is so unusual, what do you think can take that from being something that people sort of regard as a novelty to being something that people really just stop thinking about as unusual and just get into and enjoy the piece?
Well, first of all, normally when you hear the tuba, you always hear the tuba in the middle or the low range. In the concerto, you hear the high range. I never realized how beautiful the high range really is. And the sound is, I would say, close to the French horn sound, but a little more weight to it. I think more people should write for the tuba. I think it's a very poetic instrument.
You also have Daphnis and Chloe on the program, which strikes me as being difficult, perhaps in the sense that it just is so rhythmically just kind of floats in places. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the experience of conducting that.
Well, actually, the second half is all impressionistic with Debussy Nocturnes and then Maurice Ravel's Daphnis and Chloe, Suite Number 2, which, of course, is from the ballet and the most often three movements that it's played in a concert version of it. It is very challenging, not so much for the conductor, but the soloists and the orchestra members, because they're very soloistic writing in the woodwinds, great imitation of birds and the sunrise, the pantomime, and then the general dance. I mean, he doesn't stop. It just gets more adventurous as it goes on and so on. So it's really a virtuoso work for the entire orchestra, and there is no a secondary role. Everybody is a soloist, And I think that's what makes it so exciting. Plus, the fact that Ravel is such an incredible orchestrator, when he says sunrise, you do hear and you visualize the sunrise. Even though you don't see it, you know it's that's what it is. And the dance general, the excitement is just unbelievable.
Can you tell when you're playing the music of someone who was primarily a single instrumentalist or versus someone who's so noted for orchestrations like Ravel, can you tell that there's a love of the orchestra as an instrument?
Oh, I think so. I think so. The Russians, I will say Rimsky-Korsakov. The French will say Debussy Ravel. Americans will say probably Copland and Bernstein. So there is a difference. There is a difference, and a pleasant difference. You really see them at their very best, because not only they write good melodies, good rhythm, and what have you, but their imagination is unbelievable, just unbelievable. And what they can do with few instruments is just beyond me.